Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. My happy place. And we're going to be live there for our first show of the year on Friday, June 20th. So join us for that. Mark your calendars now because it'll be here before you know it. And if you're thinking about having that beautiful wedding, beachfront wedding, look no further than the Grand Hotel, grandhotelcapemay.com. So, can President Trump run for a third term? Is he just toying with the media? Is this something he'll actually do? Is this just him just messing around? What is he going to do? We'll find, you know, it's anyway. So the president was asked about this, the third term idea. And this is what he said. It was on Air Force One over the weekend, flying back to Washington from Palm Beach. Cut number two.
You said you were not joking about a third term, about possibly wanting a third term. Does that mean you're not planning to leave office on January
20th? I'm not looking at that, but I'll tell you, I have had more people ask me to have a third term, which is, in a way, a fourth term, because the other election, the 2020 election, was totally rigged. So it's actually sort of a fourth term in a certain way. I just don't want the credit for the second, because Biden was so bad. He did such a bad job. And I think that's one of the reasons that I'm popular, if you want to know the truth. I think I'm popular because we've done a great job. I think we've had the best almost 100 days of any president. And most people are saying that. And it's an honor. We're bringing back our country. We're respected as a country again. And we're strongly respected. And people were amazed. I was with some very important people today, and they said that they've never seen a turnaround of a country as fast as this. Even look at our border. We have nobody coming in. And you can't come into our country, but you have to come in legally. But we have nobody coming in to our country. It's almost shut down. They've never seen anything like this.
The Constitution limits a president to two terms. Is it your understanding that they have to be?
I don't even want to talk about it. I'm just telling you, I have had more people say, please run again. They said, we have a long way to go before we even think about that. But I've had a lot of people. Yeah, go ahead. Did you have something?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, do you think that's an appropriate precedent to set, even if it wasn't you in this position, to see a president serve a third term?
I don't want to talk about a third term now, because no matter how you look at it, we got a long time to go. We have a long time. You know, we have almost 4 years to go. And that that's a long time. But despite that, so many people are saying, you've got to run again. They love the job window. Most importantly, they love the job window.
First of all, he keeps saying, I don't want to talk about it. And they're the ones who keep asking him. And so here's Caroline Leavitt responding to that. I don't have the clip number, Matt. It's one I texted you today at the White House. Take a listen.
Would the president use to potentially run for a third term? As you said, there are methods there.
Look, you guys continue to ask the president this question about a third term, and then he answers honestly and candidly with a smile, and then everybody here melts down about his answer. The president was talked about this last night on the plane. He said, it's not really something we're thinking about. He has 4 years. There's a lot of work to do. We've done a lot in these nearly first 100 days, and the American people love what this president is doing, particularly when it comes to efforts to secure the border.
All right. Here's ABC News legal contributor Kim Well, who suggests that Trump could actually run for a third term for the presidency. I'm only playing this because I know the left's going to freaking melt down over this. Man, my Thanksgiving is going to be, whew. Take a listen.
At the end of the day, this doesn't really hinge on what the Constitution says. It's more on, you know, if the Republican Party decides to put him on the ballot on a state by state basis, who's going to stop that process? There's no mechanism. If people, Donald Trump, are willing to push the boundaries of the Constitution, if the Republican Party doesn't come in and stop him, I think this is not, this is feasible. This could actually happen.
Now, many Trump allies, including Steve Bannon, have pointed to the Constitution not using the word consecutive when defining presidential terms. Is that a loophole?
You know, I think that's a pretty weak argument. I mean, it doesn't say anything about it having to be consecutive terms. And if you think about it as well from an originalist standpoint, right, a conservative standpoint, and you think about why do we even have the 22nd Amendment? It was because Franklin Delano Roosevelt served four terms in office or was elected four times, and people from both parties didn't like that idea. There had been many attempts since the founding of the Constitution to put a cap on presidential terms, and they did that in 1951.
Now, just a few minutes ago, I asked Republican Congressman David Kustoff if he would support Trump serving a third term. He didn't say yes, but he also didn't say no. What happens if the president tries any of these tactics?
Well, that interview I heard, and I think it's good news that he believes it would take a constitutional amendment to allow that. But if he got on the ballot, I don't know that the Supreme Court would kick him off. We saw this in the last election. I believe Section 3 of the 14th Amendment made him ineligible because of January 2021 and the insurrection. But the Supreme Court said, you know, we're not going to stop the Republican Party from choosing who they want to be at the top of the ticket. So with lots of things that are happening with Donald Trump, the question is who is going to stand in the way of what sounds like an extra constitutional agenda here.
Do you notice something which is the interesting part about this is who's pushing this story of Trump running? It's freaky. It's April of 2025. He's just about to begin his fourth month in office, which is not even really, I mean, if you count January as a month. So like really his like second and a half, third month in office. He's turning 79 years old this summer. He doesn't want to lame duck himself necessarily. So he's like, yeah, maybe I'll do it. I don't know. The freaking freak out over this when it's April of 2025, like without even thinking about the fact that there's going to be all of these other people in the Republican Party who are going to want to run for president of the United States. And who knows if Trump even wants to really do it again, but they can't help themselves because they have to go along with this narrative that he's this dictator and he's going to be in there for life and he's never going to leave. You'll never get rid of him. And the Supreme Court's going along with it. She makes this idiotic equation, a false equivalency to she believes the Supreme Court should have said he was ineligible based on the insurrection clause. Donald Trump was never found guilty of leading an insurrection. He wasn't even charged with leading an insurrection. So she just believes that the Supreme Court should have made him ineligible without basis of any what? Due process whatsoever? So in other words, she's an idiot. She's a lawyer, but that doesn't mean she's not an idiot. There's a lot of idiots who are lawyers out there. But so, as you would imagine, predictably so, MSNBC, constitutional crisis, very, very serious threat, very serious constitutional threat. Cut number three.
MSNBC political analyst. Quick reaction, guys, to that Trump comment, entertaining a third term. You first, David.
Believe him. I think the biggest mistake of the last 8 years is we somehow fail to give credibility to Donald Trump's whims and his impulses, but we know it's true. And January 6th was a perfect example. If he says that he's not ruling it out, he's not ruling it out, and we should consider it a constitutional threat.
Okay. Susan?
He's been pushing the envelope on testing the Constitution, so I expect, you know, that he'll continue to do that. Maybe by seeking out a third term. But more importantly, short term, we're not talking about Signal and that scandal if we are talking about Trump's third term.
Don?
Yeah, I think both of them are exactly right. Steve Bannon was on Joe Rogan's podcast the other day laying out the very groundling seeds of how it's going to go down. And he said, listen, we are working on it. And by we, I mean the same people who work at the Heritage Foundation and these other well-funded, well-organized think tanks who are laying together the groundwork for things that actually come to pass. And the mainstream media and all of us on the left kind of blow it off as silly or improbable or unconstitutional. That doesn't matter to these folks. And I think you should take a third term or an effort at a third term as a legitimate campaign promise at this point.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, you should be very, very afraid. Be very afraid. They're adorable, aren't they? They really are adorable. They're so cute. They're just so cute with their panic. And they just can't help themselves. There's a video of a bunch of Tesla people, Tesla protesters, dancing in the streets, dressed up as unicorns, holding swastikas, dancing in the streets like lunatics in Seattle. All wearing face masks, by the way. All wearing face masks, dancing in the streets like lunatics outside of a Tesla headquarters in Seattle. Dancing, and I think I could be wrong here, but I believe they might be dancing to Thriller by Michael Jackson. They might all be doing the Thriller move. I'm not quite sure. I think Trump loves to mess with these people. I think he just enjoys knowing that he's just going to cause them so much grief and consternation. And they love it, too. You know what? The little dirty secret is that they're loving this right now because their ratings are going up because there's so many people on the left right now who need to tune into a place to hear how Trump's going to wind up in prison. And he'll have to be, you know, taken out, but removed from the office. Like, they need their therapy. And this is all a giant therapy session for them. That's really what it is. It's a gigantic therapy session for them because they still can't grasp the fact that he's in charge. They just can't. Kristen Welker of NBC's Meet the Press said hours ago, President Trump called her to tell Kristen Welker how angry he is with Putin, that Russian puppet Donald Trump, and then calling Kristen Welker, that far right-wing journalist on NBC News Meet the Press. Cut number six.
Just hours ago, President Trump called me to tell me he is, quote, pissed off with Russia's President Whoa. Putin and threatened to impose secondary tariffs on Russia's oil. Quote, if Russia and I are unable to make a deal on stopping the bloodshed in Ukraine, and if I think it was Russia's fault, which it might not be, but if I think it was Russia's fault, I am going to put secondary tariffs on all oil coming out of Russia. Mr. Trump said 25% tariffs on Russian oil could happen any moment and told me he plans to speak with President Putin this week. The president told me, quote, I was very angry, pissed off when Putin started getting into Zelensky's credibility and started talking about new leadership in Ukraine.
Maybe Trump will run for president of Russia. Big news, Kyle Schwarber, Schwarber bomb, home run. Ring the bell, Justin. There we go. So what's the score now?
The Phillies are now up 4-1. They were up, or they were down 1-0 in the bottom of the seventh. Edmundo Sosa got a 2-run RBI. And then immediately after, there was another double hit, and then Schwarber sent a deep line drive to dead center in the opposing bullpen.
Boom! That's what I like to hear right there. Schwarber's my man, and at the Travis Manning Foundation, I paid for a signed Kyle Schwarber ball. Boom! I better get that, too, because I paid for it. They better not, you know, they better fulfill that. I assume that they will, but nevertheless. Schwarber, my man, son of a cop, big fan of law enforcement, always helps out the cops in the city and across the country with his neighborhood block party. Kyle Schwarber, how are we looking out there? You watching the game? How are we looking? Are we looking good?
It was looking dicey until that seventh inning. I mean, it's the same problem they've had for the last 2 years, where they like to just swing at whatever they get. Like, if they see something that looks moderately hittable,
yeah,
they will swing at it no matter where it's going. So one thing I've noticed in the first four games is if they see a sinker come in and it looks like it's good, they will swing at it despite it being a mile off. And I think once they get into the swing of the season and, you know, they're back into it and they can tell their pitches, I think it'll be fine. But for right now, it's just been those first seven innings were pain.
Wow. All right, good. I like this. This is good. Excellent. I like this. Very, very happy. So Donald Trump, the puppet of Putin, the Putin puppet, who's only there because of Russia collusion, called NBC's Kristen Welker to tell her how, quote, pissed off he is with Putin. Trump also said there's a psychological deadline for Putin to agree to the ceasefire here. Cut number four.
Wait. It's a psychological deadline. If I think they're tapping us along, I will not be happy about it.
Do you think they are right now?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he wants to make a deal. And I think Zelensky, by the way, I see he's trying to back out of the rare earth deal.
Now, let's understand something. If either this is a guy trying to broker peace here between these two countries, which would be nice for all of us, because none of us want to see this war continue and go on. Well, except for the Democrats and the war machine. But other than that, I mean, except for the Democrat Party and the military-industrial complex, nobody wants to see this war continue. But he said, you know, Zelensky's trying to back out. And if he does, that's not going to work. Not going to be too good. Cut number five.
Zelensky, by the way, I see he's trying to back out of the rare earth deal. And if he does that, he's got some problems, big, big problems. We made a deal on rare earth, and now he's saying, well, you know, I want to renegotiate the deal. He wants to be a member of NATO. Well, he was never going to be a member of NATO. He understands that. So if he's looking to renegotiate the deal, he's got big problems.
He's got big problems. So that's the deal. I'm altering the deal. Pray don't alter it further. Nope, that's the deal. Justin, what's that line from? Come on, you know. You're nerdy enough to know.
That's Vader on Bespin?
Okay, that's really hardcore nerd. You just had to say The Empire Strikes Back. I mean, that's all you had to say, but you went, you know.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember the exact scene. Yeah. Yeah.
You named it. I didn't even know that was a thing. Vespin?
Bespin.
What was it?
Bespin. It's the Cloud City.
That's the Cloud City where Lando Calrissian is the guy in charge?
Yep.
The fact that you knew that is everything. It really is. It's everything. It's everything. I'm altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further. Good stuff right there. I'm looking forward to the new Andor show, though, coming out. That was a good show, Andor. Andor, right? Did you see the first season, Justin?
It's one of those ones where I still have to. I just got to make time. There's so many things I'm watching.
Yeah.
I just got to, like, block out a specific like week, I'd say, just to focus on Andor. I think I'll probably do it when the second season starts airing.
It's good, because the only decent Star Wars movie that was made outside of the three was the movie Rogue One, which is all about how they are planning to go and then, you know, attack the Death Star prior. It's actually a prequel of Star Wars.
It's like that middle ground between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope.
Yeah, and it's actually good. It's actually a really good movie, and it's worthy of being in, you know. And then they made this Andor show about the lead up to that, which is also very good. But that's it. I think the guy who directed that movie only did that one movie, and I think Disney fired him because it was too successful and wasn't woke enough. Like the robots weren't trans or something. There was some scandal with that, I think. But that's a good movie, Rogue One. So
it's been my favorite thing that Star Wars has put out in the last decade, besides maybe The Mandalorian.
Yeah, well, people love The Mandalorian, too. I just have not had the time to watch that show, you know. But I didn't see last night's White Lotus. Did you see it, DeSantis?
Yes.
Is it disgusting?
No, thankfully. There was no more of that. Okay. But it also... it wasn't great either. I don't know. The previous seasons of White Lotus conclude big with a giant grand finale. So I'm hoping that it'll all pay off in the final episode. There's one episode left.
Do you think Clay Travis is eating his words by telling everybody what a good season it was and to watch it?
I don't think it's terrible, but it's definitely not nearly as good as season two. And I don't know if it's even as good as season one.
I gotta see the last two episodes now. I'm too invested in it, but you know, I mean, I don't know. I can't recommend it. I'm not recommending it to anybody. Because I would recommend shows and movies to people. I can't recommend it. I can't, in good conscience, recommend this season to you. That's how I feel.
I'm holding off judgment until we get that final episode, because it does seem as though it's building to something pretty cool. Pretty cool.
All right. Well, we'll watch that episode tonight. I can't. It's just if I'm going to recommend a show to somebody, I got to stand for that. I got to believe in it so that when they come back, if they don't like it, I can defend it. I can't do that in this show. If they come back and be like, I hated it. I hate you for telling me I just wasted 8 hours of my life. I can't come back and be like, yeah, but you don't understand. I'd be like, yeah, you're right. I get it. So that's why I can't.
By the way.
Yeah.
Did you ever end up watching Ripley on Netflix?
No.
You gotta watch that. That I give my seal of approval, and I actually think you'll enjoy it, not like Conclave.
What is Ripley about?
So it's based on the Patricia Highsmith book, The Talented Mr. Ripley, but I actually think this is one rare instance where the TV series is better than the book was.
I got a question for you.
What's that?
Did you get me a dwarf?
No, I'm working on it.
Dwarf.
I'm working on it.
You're not working on it. Who are you kidding? Stop it. Please.
Maybe tomorrow. We'll see.
You're not getting me a dwarf. Who are you kidding?
We're working on it.
All right, fine. I think it'd be a good story to talk to them about. I really do. I think it'd be good. Have the conversation. They're suing Disney, class action lawsuit, the little people for not being included in the Snow White movie because they used the CGI. And I think it's a good story. I think it'd be an interesting story to talk to people about. I really do. I think people would be interested in this.
I think it would be a good segment. I agree with you.
Everybody hates Disney anyway. Oh, you know what I can recommend, though, is the interview that Bill Hemmer did with the NASA astronauts, Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams. Bill Hemmer sat down with them. And it was a very powerful interview. These people were amazing, too. They were up there exercising in space. They had exercise for 2 hours a day, every day, so that they wouldn't lose their muscle mass being up in space. And he asked them this question here, cut number 11.
What would you like to say to President Trump and Elon Musk? I respect you. I trust you. You've given me no reason not to trust you, either one of them. What they say, I can't say what they say. I haven't lived that. But I have no reason not to believe anything they say because they've earned my trust. And for that, I am grateful that our national leaders actually are coming in and taking part in our human spaceflight program, which we see is hugely important global significance, and they take an active role. And based on the past and what we see now with them doing that, it's refreshing, not just refreshing, it's empowering, it's strengthening for our nation. I think it's a good thing for our nation when the national leaders, especially something that has high visibility, are involved in the process. That's I'm grateful for that.
And, you know, I'm just glad that they're involved and they take notice. And, you know, our situation, I think, I mentioned before, maybe wasn't the perfect situation, but allowed a lot of people, including the president and Elon, to look at what's going on the International Space Station, take it very seriously and understand that our involvement as a country, as a spacefaring nation, is really important throughout the world. And it sets an example and it shows, you know, our ability to be able to do the hard things, put people in space, operate in space, work in space, and then bring us back. It's important, and I appreciate that them and many, many, many more people took notice of it.
So that was good. It was a really, really powerful interview. You should definitely check it out. It was good. So, Justin, you mentioned that the director of Rogue One is directing. There's another Jurassic Park coming out?
Yeah, it should be coming out sometime this year, allegedly. Jurassic World Rebirth. It's the first thing he's done in about 2 years. It was the create. He directed a and wrote a science fiction film called The Creator. I never saw it, but then before, it's the first thing he's done major since Rogue One in 2016.
How many Jurassic Park movies do we need?
Should have stopped at one, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Is Chris Pratt in this one?
No.
Oh, he's not?
Mahershala Ali, I don't believe so. Mahershala Ali is in it, and so is Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, God. Oh,
Mahershala Ali is great.
Let me tell you what's happening right now. The only way they can fill seats in Hollywood is to do these big blockbuster, loud, big. It's the only way to get people in theaters, because otherwise people aren't going. There is a story in the New York Post about this, what they're trying to do to get people back to cinemas because they're still struggling post-COVID. And they're trying everything from raucous sing-alongs with the audience, which that would keep me away. I wouldn't go near a freaking movie theater if I had to sing. That's number one. They got pickleball courts now they're having at movie theaters. Cocktail bars is what you need. What you need, really, is you got to have booze. I think that's what you're going to have. Pickleball games and cocktails in the lobby, even bowling, all designed to get people to see the theaters is more than just a place to screen the latest flicks. But, you know, for a lot of them, they don't have liquor licenses. So, you know, but the other problem is that, and this is a classic problem here. It comes back to men and women, all right? I would go see the Jurassic Park movie, but on a date night, Bridget does not want to go see a giant blockbuster about dinosaurs. You see what I mean? So then the other way Hollywood goes is it goes these artsy movies that Matt DeSantis likes that I have no interest in seeing because I'm an actual man. But she would want to see those movies because she's a woman like DeSantis, basically, is, you know.
Okay, I will concede. I do like the artsy films. Some of them are good. Some of them are not so good. And when they're bad, they're very, very bad. I will concede that. However, there are good ones.
So the biggest problem, I agree with you, is Hollywood's making junk. There's a lot of junk. There's not great movies that they're making that people want to see on a date night, because that's the threshold there. Can a guy convince a girl to go to the movies? And then can a woman convince a guy to sit through what is a chick flick? And if you can balance that, you got a winner. They don't have that. So it's either big, loud action movies that a lot of women are not interested in seeing, like my wife, or it's artsy movies that men don't want to see. Am I wrong on this? I'm telling you, I'm dead right on this. Spot on.
I agree with you. I think that there would be a lot more people in movie theaters if they had a better product. And they're also not being helped by the fact that streaming services are starting to pick up the pace with the quality of films that they're releasing on their own.
Yeah, and also, too, it's kind of expensive to do a night out at the theaters. So, but I mean, that said, like, I'm going to see the new Superman movie in the movie theaters. I'm not, but we went out to dinner the other night, Bridget and I. At no point in our thinking about what we want to do on a Saturday night did a movie come up. I don't even know if couples still do movie nights, do they? If you do, let me know in the YouTube chat. Like, do couples do, like, movie nights? I'm curious about that.
I can tell you that me and my very real girlfriend do not go to the movies.
You don't go to the movies.
She does not like them. I would go all the time, but she's not a fan.
So your fake girlfriend doesn't like fake stories, basically.
She's very real.
Justin, do you and your fake girlfriend go to the movies?
No. I mean, no. I'm the same way as DeSantis. I would, but she does. She doesn't. She doesn't, like, enjoy it at all. Yeah. I enjoy the experience, but it also is a factor that it is so expensive. It is unbelievable. Unless you have, like, the membership program where you get reduced price, just going out and just randomly one night going to the theater, you're dropping $50, bucks, $60, all things considered.
Definitely.
That's not even counting the dinner you go to before or after. It's another $60. You're paying $120 for a night out. Just, I can't justify that.
So somebody said to me the other day, I read this piece where they were saying that the movies used to be the blue-collar entertainment. You know, like the artsy-fartsy, like the rich people go to Broadway shows and they put on the tuxes and go see the symphony. But like the blue-collar people, the middle class, would go to the movie theaters because you can go see a movie for $10 and get popcorn and say, you know what I mean? And now when it's as expensive as you're saying now, there's a whole bunch of people that are not doing that. They've been raising the prices so much to such a degree. But ultimately, it comes down to a bad product, I think. And it's like all those Oscar movies. I didn't watch a single one of those movies. Not a single one. You loved all of them, DeSantis. You loved all of them. The artsier, the better. Don't lie.
No, I didn't love all of them. I thought Anora was very good. I thought Wicked was good. I thought Dune Part 2 was good. And we all know that I enjoyed Conclave. The rest of them, I thought they were subpar.
See, Mike L. says on the YouTube chat, wife and I occasionally go out for dinner at a movie with friends of ours, but it has to be a movie we really want to see, so maybe twice a year. Chris Eppolito says, my wife and I went to the movies recently, saw Jaws. That went well. That was, what, August last year, maybe a couple years. I mean, if they re-release a movie like Jaws or something in the theaters, I would go see that, because I never saw Jaws on the big screen. That would be something cool to see, I think.
Interestingly enough, the New York Post did mention that as of now, a lot of the movie theaters are bringing back old releases, and they're doing better than the new premiere movies in theaters. Which
doesn't surprise
me. Figure. That seems to
me.
No, that seems like it's definitely just the product, or at least a substantial part of the reason people are staying away from theaters are the product. If you're able to re-release something and get a crowd, then the obvious sign points to just lousy movies being produced by Hollywood.
If you go see a movie in 3D IMAX, that's a car payment right there. You know what I mean? If you try to do that, it's not cheap. So, and you can try to do the matinee in the middle of the afternoon or middle of the day, but a lot of people work. So you try to get two tickets for a premiere show on a Friday night to go to the movies and see it in IMAX or whatever it is. And it's, for two tickets, it's probably $50, right? Just for the tickets. So you haven't got popcorn and drinks.
Easily.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, or wait a couple weeks and it'll be streaming at home. So that's the other thing, too. There used to be a longer gap between when a movie went to video back in the day, when it was a VHS or CD or DVD. There was a longer period of time there. And then, so there was an incentive to go see the movie because you wanted to see it. You didn't want to wait till it was available on DVD. And then that's gone now because post-COVID now they're just trying to get as much money. So they've shorter runs in the theater. And the audience knows, well, eventually that's going to be – I could rent it if I'm dying to see it on Amazon Prime in the comfort of my home for $25. And I'll save a lot more money if I'm dying to see it. Or I'll just wait till it drops down to $5 after that. That's the other thing, is that these movies quickly now are available for home consumption in a way that COVID changed. That was not like that before. It used to be like 18 months or something between when a movie was in the theaters and when you could rent it or stream it. You know what I mean? So, not that you can rent it anymore. At least not outside of your home. You can rent it in your home, but that's different. You know? Can't go to Blockbuster Video anymore. Though I think there still is one Blockbuster Video left, right?
There is, in fact, one left in the United States.
There is one left. They did a movie about that. That was interesting. The last Blockbuster.
It's in Oregon.
Oregon. Yeah. I used to love... See, that was fun, too. I would go to the Blockbuster, and I would looking at the movies and reading the descriptions was half the fun. Picking something out. And now you kind of go down a rabbit hole of that, and, you know... Then you got to look at the Rotten Tomatoes score and the audience score, and it's a whole work. By the time you figure out what movie you want to watch, it's too late to watch it. It's time for bed. Got to go to bed now. All right, what's the Phillies score? Any update?
It's still 4-1. Bottom of the eighth, two outs, and Max Kepler up to bat.
All right, good stuff. All right, we got more to come as the show continues today. President Trump and tariffs. Caroline Levitt pushing back on those tariffs critics. Where do we go from here with all this? I'll give you some thoughts on that. The president may be signing some executive orders as well. If he does, we'll bring that to you live. And more craziness around Tesla, even right in our backyard. Tesla terrorists going after Teslas, attacking them, setting them on fire. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Attention, ladies in the Leawood area. Beaumont Health and Wellness is here and offers award-winning wellness and beauty treatments like hormone therapy, weight loss, body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Right now, get our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to recharge your body. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Vellani and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sharon Kay says, Rich, they're re-releasing Jaws in July to celebrate its 50th anniversary. Awesome. I wonder if I could take Patrick to that. Yeah, I think so, right? 10-year-old, he can deal with a shark attacks and whatnot. Yeah, definitely. Let's see here. Chris, the greater Chris, if you had a sing, it would keep me out of the movie theater, too. Carrie Marie, Rich, why on God's green earth are you asking Matt DeSantis' opinion on anything to do with television? Great question, Carrie. And Chris says, it's not the money. People have no problem door dashing their Dairy Queen. It's laziness and the crap the studios put out. So there you go with some of the comments. You can always comment along the show at Rich Zioli or on our YouTube chat as well. And we have another bell to ring. So let's ring the bell, Justin. What do we got?
That would be a Nick Castellanos, a two-run shot, about 4-4-22-ish dead center. The Phils are currently up 6-1 going into the top of the ninth.
Beautiful, beautiful, fantastic. Look at that, huh? Excellent stuff. And my camera's frozen, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stupid camera keeps crashing on me. I got to restart it. All right. So I don't know if the president's going to speak or not. He had some executive orders he was going to sign. Caroline Levitt came out today and started bringing the receipts on tariffs. I don't know where all this is going to go. I know that, you know, obviously this is why it's stupid to even talk about Trump running for a third term. Who knows if he'll be a popular president in 3 years? He's incredibly popular now. But if the economy is not great and strong, then he doesn't matter if he wants to run for a third term. He's not going to win. See, everything has to depend on the results he delivers. That's the reality of any politician. So I know the media would love to fantasize about him just staying in office, but I think we've kind of gone through the whole myth of how that works. Like, you just merely being in the Oval Office doesn't make you president. Like, there's people that go in the Oval Office all the time. They're not president. So you have to win an election. You have to be sworn in. You can't just decide, I'm staying, I'm not leaving. Then you'd be a squatter, which, even though in D.C. they do have great sympathy for squatters, it still doesn't make you president. So they've kind of given up on the notion that Trump's just going to stay. Now the panic porn that the media is putting out is that he's going to run for a third term. Well, if he runs for a third term, theoretically speaking, and gets past all of the legal constitutional minutiae, he has to win a third term. And that means he'd have to be a popular president. He'd have to have done things that the American people would want to give him a third term. This doesn't even count the infighting in the Republican Party, people that say he's got to go, people that feel like it's their turn, people that feel like it would be antithetical to the Constitution. I mean, leaving just all that aside for a moment. So everything depends on his tariff policy working. If it does, and all this works the way he says it will, he'll be incredibly popular. People will probably be begging him to stay for a third term. If it doesn't, they're going to be counting down the minutes until his term's up. But that's the truth of anybody. He's Teflon, but he's also not Superman. So it's all going to come down to that. Here's Caroline Leavitt. She walked down today at the South Lawn of the White House on executive drive. She was reading a lot of what some of the other countries charge on tariffs against us. Take a listen.
Well, I think, first of all, unfortunately, these countries have been ripping off our country for far too long. And they've made, I think, their disdain for the American worker quite clear. If you look at the unfair trade practices that we have, 50% from the European Union on American dairy. You have a 700% tariff from Japan on American rice. You have a 100% tariff from India on American agricultural products. You have nearly a 300% tariff from Canada on American butter and American cheese. This makes it virtually impossible for American products to be imported into these markets. And it has put a lot of Americans out of business and out of work over the past several decades. So it's time for reciprocity. And it's time for a president to take historic change to do what's right for the American people. And that's going to take place on Wednesday.
What can I tell you other than he believes it's going to work? And if it works, great. If it doesn't work, you're not going to have to worry about him having a third term because he's not going to be popular. I don't think Trump would be doing this unless he really believed it was going to work and it was going to lead to American success. Because it's all about being popular. He wants to go down as being one of the most popular presidents. Now, Johnny Cook apparently said that he couldn't care less about car prices going up. Matt, did you see that clip? I didn't see that quote. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
No, but of course, you're not really working though, or not getting me a dwarf either. So it's not like, you know, you'd see that, but
I didn't see the quote. No, I did not.
Well, I would just say that, you know, there's going to be a lot of people who would probably say it's a good idea if we avoid saying he couldn't care less if car prices go up, if that's what he said. I didn't see the clip either, so I don't know. It's all going to look. He ran on this. He said he was going to do it. He said he was going to do tariffs, and he promised they were going to lead to huge success, and it was going to be a winner. If it is, he's going to go down in history as the greatest president. If it isn't, then not so much. That's true of anybody. That's just the way it's going to be. You can have Doge be incredibly successful, and if the tariffs lead to a bad economy, then he's not going to be popular. He's convinced this is going to work. He believes this is the best thing for the American workers. I can tell you that the American auto workers are thrilled by this. They have said for so long this is what they want. They want a level playing field, and they believe Trump is delivering on that, and they're thrilled about it. They're thrilled. They're so happy about it. So, you know, they don't feel like they have a fair playing field because all these American people in this country are driving around in fancy European cars because we don't charge any tariffs on these countries that bring their cars here. Meanwhile, all these American auto workers are busting their butts trying to build these cars in America, and then they can't sell them in Europe because of the tariffs that Europe imposes on American vehicles. And hey, maybe this will lead to no tariffs whatsoever. Maybe the European countries will get the hint, and the European countries will turn around and they'll say, we got to cut this out because this is really bad for us and for our business and for our car makers. And then they'll knock it off with the tariffs. That's also very possible. I think it's just too early to tell. I think it's too early to say. I just, knowing Trump, he's not going to want to do something that leads to him being an unpopular president. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our friend, Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VANARIA, VeneriaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Like I mentioned, he's ready to give you the smile of your dreams. The full quote was that he doesn't care if foreign automakers raise prices. Okay. Yeah. And I mean, and they probably will. And I think Trump expects that to happen. And I'm sure he'd be more than happy for that to happen, for people to choose to buy American cars instead of European cars. And look, if you're a car dealer who sells cars made in Europe, that doesn't make you happy. But if you're a car dealer that sells cars made in the United States of America, or what you do then is, if you're a car dealer and they're European cars that you sell, if they start opening plants in America and start building those cars here and making those cars in America, then that's going to benefit everybody. I think there's also a patriotic reason to do it, too. People feel better. There's a lot of people that want to buy American-made stuff. And if they can, they will. There's no reason why cars can't follow the lead of Volvo and Hyundai and Subaru and other car makers that have started, that have built plants in America. They have their plants in their home countries, and then they build cars in America. They build the cars in America, they hire American workers, and they sell those cars in the United States of America. So now you get to drive the luxury European brand car built in the United States of America, so it gets around the tariffs, and you're building that. I mean, that's the goal. And it's not crazy to think that that could occur when you look at how many companies are now, car companies are investing in America to build in America and to build American steel to make their cars. So, I mean, the UAW is thrilled. And you've already seen Hyundai just announce a big investment that they're going to do that in the United States of America. And the Phillies have won officially 6-1. Game is over. The Phils have won. First home opener at Citizens Bank Park. Great way to start the year. Go Phils. Awesome. Great stuff. Great. No, I think that's what it comes down to. And so for people that feel a sense of pride in buying an American car, they'll have more options then, because then they can buy a car. If they love driving a Mercedes and Mercedes opens a plant in America and starts hiring American workers and building Mercedes here, and then they don't have to pay a tariff on those automobiles that are sold in the United States of America that are made at their plant, and then they can sell all their cars in Europe to the European countries, it's not that crazy. Or if Europe decides that they're going to lower the tariffs that they impose on American-made cars, and then the American car market can actually sell cars in Europe, and that becomes a level playing field, that's also a great thing. By the way, a very strange story regarding Virginia Giuffre. Do you remember her? She was the woman who was Prince Andrew's, or was it Harry or Andrew? Who was the one who was on Epstein Andrew. Island? Andrew, right?
Andrew.
Yeah. So she's... she's near death now. She's saying she has days to live after surviving a car crash. And apparently, I guess from what I understand is that she posted that on social media that she only has a few days to live after colliding with a bus going 110 miles an hour. And she's near death now. So Colin Rugg posted this a short time ago. Prince Andrew's ex-girlfriend, Lady Victoria Harvey, says Epstein victim Virginia Giuffre is getting karma after she was allegedly run into by a bus traveling 65 miles an hour. The speed keeps changing. Gouffre claims she has just days to live after surviving the car crash. Hervé, who is Prince Andrew's ex-girlfriend, is now suggesting that Gouffre is faking her diagnosis and cooperating with the FBI. And the FBI are on her right now. If Virginia Gouffre really does have days to live, then a complete confession is needed. I don't believe it, though. The FBI is on her right now, and arrest warrants are incoming. She's conveniently dying to evade jail without evidence. She doubled down on her claim that a famous photo with Gouffre and Prince Andrew was fake. I mean, she is the queen of the fake photo, after all. Hence, I'm such a skeptic and don't believe in jumping to any conclusions right now from just a visual. But I mean, this is news to me that they're even doubting the validity of her story. Wasn't it always confirmed that she was, in fact, a victim of Jeffrey Epstein who did not kill himself? Doesn't everybody know that? I think that's something that's common knowledge. She's a victim, so I'm not surprised that Prince Andrew's girlfriend would say that. So Virginia Gouffre claims that she was raped by Prince Andrew as a teenager, said she suffered kidney failure and is about to pass away based on this horrible automobile accident with a bus. They've given me 4 days to live, transferring me to a specialist hospital in urology. She says she's been smashed into by a speeding bus. This year has been the worst start to a new year, but I won't bore anyone with the details. But I think it's important to note that when a school bus driver comes at you driving 110 kilometers, oh, that's why kilometers, as you were slowing down for a turn, no matter what your car is made of, it might as well be a tin can. I'm ready to go. I'm just not ready until I see my babies one last time. It's unclear at this moment where the crash happened. So very strange that this occurs when they're talking about releasing the Epstein files and all of that occurring. I don't know. It's very, very strange. No doubt about that. We'll see if there's more details on that coming out. And Morgan Wallen, the country music star, walked out on Saturday Night Live the other night after the show ended. So he played two songs and then the show ended. And just at the very end, he just walks out, leaves the stage and tweets out a picture of his private plane saying, "I'm going back to God's country." And there's all this backlash now that Morgan Wallen left Saturday Night Live and left the stage and said he's going back to God's country. He hasn't really commented much further. SNL hasn't really said anything, but a lot of people are praising him, saying, "Good for you for getting the hell out of New York as soon as the show ended." I mean, he literally like jumps off the stage after saying something to the host of the show and then beelines it and walks out the door. And he is incredibly popular, Morgan Wallen. He might be the most popular artist in America right now. I mean, right, Justin? He's got to be, if not top five. Oh, Trump's speaking now. All right, quick break. We'll come right back. We'll bring the president to you, and we'll come right back. Don't go away.